is actually a really special morning here this morning. We have been talking the last two weeks, and then this week about reaching and just the importance of that. A couple weeks ago, we talked about just the simple aspect of reaching, of being able to walk across the room to another person and even just to introduce yourself to them, to begin a conversation with someone who might be far from God. And to be able to maybe build a relationship, to have that opportunity at some point to tell your story with God and God's story through you and God's story of Jesus. Maybe that can happen at some point if we simply take those steps across the room to engage somebody else. Then last week we had Daniel Shasta here who God reached out to him all the way in Iran, and he came to Christ and now is impacting people all over the world. Through his relationship with Christ and discipleship and teaching. Just been a really powerful couple of weeks, and this week is going to be extra incredible because we're going to have our Kentucky mission team sharing about the great week we had in Kentucky helping with flood relief, and then Mike's going to be sharing about the mission trip he was a part of in Africa, and it just shows us different ways that we can reach. I want to just share it with you first, some of the things that Jesus has said to us. Here's some of the things Jesus has said to us. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's the gospel message, that God sent his Son to reach us so that we could have relationship with God and we could reach others. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is the way to God. Not a way, he is the way to God. And we reach because we have the way to God, and we want others to know that so that they can know God as well. Jesus said, "And you will be my witnesses and to all the world, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We know that from that we're to start right where we are. In our Judea, right where we live, to begin to reach people. That's one of the reasons we're encouraging folks to be here this afternoon during the harvest party here, so we can reach the people in our community. We start right where we are, then we go to places like Kentucky and places like Zambia and places around the world, however we can do that. That's part of what God's calling us to do. And then Jesus said this. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them all I've commanded you, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is with us with this mission to reach, to tell people about him. Friends, it is just awesome when we realize that incredible impact that God has on us and that God wants to have on others. And this morning, we're going to be sharing with you part of our reaching so you can see this tangibly, how we actually have been able to do this. And I want to invite those who are in the Kentucky team to make their way up here as I kind of talk about how we ended up in Kentucky. And they're going to stretch across the stage here, and they're going to be sharing with you, and Mike's going to be sharing with you. I'm just going to fill in any blanks that might be there along the way. But let me just tell you a little bit. You heard some of this when we were talking about going on the Kentucky mission trip, of how we ended up there. Eli, of course, served with Leader Treks this summer. And Eli and Adeline were going to be here today to share about their summers as well. But if you've seen on the prayer team and stuff, Eli had some complications with the lung surgery he had, ended up back in the hospital, and just received notice this morning from Caroline, who's there, that it sounds like he's probably coming home today. So that's a great thing. Yeah. It couldn't be any sooner. He's starting to get a little discouraged, so we hope that he does get home today. But the reason that we went to Kentucky is that Eli served there this summer through Leader Treks, and in the last couple weeks he was there is when the catastrophic flood came through the area where he is. I think it was a 15-county flood. They called it the 1,000-year flood. It was so devastating to that area. And so the last week he was there with the team of teens that came in. They became a flood relief team and were right there in the thick of mud and all kinds of things trying to help out. And we were having a phone conversation at some point while he was there. And I don't remember who thought of it first, but we both had the same connect that said we need to take a team from our church back there. We already have connections. We already know where we can stay. And I told Eli, and I said, but Eli, you're going to lead this. And you're going to lead it in Leader Trek style. Lead us like you would lead a Leader Trek team because you've been here all summer doing this. And that's what he did. I was his apprentice. I didn't lead this trip. Eli did. And he did a phenomenal job. He had the contacts. He made the contacts with the pastors. He set up the place for us to stay. He helped with the pastors to figure out where we were going to work. He helped figure out how we were going to do food. He helped figure out the budget on what it was going to cost for us to go there and transportation, and pulled the whole thing together and then led us day by day through our schedule and spiritually as well, which you'll hear a little bit about, I think, as folks share, but spiritually as well as we were there. And it was a really awesome week. But I'm going to share less so that they can share more, because I learned at 8:30 that we have a lot to share. I think you're going to be blessed. So let's, just as you're, it looks like he's got the mic first, so we'll let Dan start, and we're going to just share some things about the trip, and then we'll step out of the way, and Mike will share about his trip to Zambia.
Well, good morning. My name is Dan Miller. I had been looking for a type of mission trip to go on for a long time. And when Eli started talking about going to Kentucky for flood relief, and then when Pastor mentioned it at church that we were going the next Sunday, I was all in. But I thought, you know, I probably ought to check with my wife first. But without any hesitation, and 100%, she says, you're going. My wife was a missionary kid. My in-laws are missionaries. So, like I said, she was 100% on board. So, the following Sunday after church, we loaded the van, we loaded my truck, and we headed to Manchester, Kentucky. Pulled in to the church where we were staying, and we met Pastor Ken. Pastor Ken, when he came up, you could just see the tiredness and the weariness in his face. He was just wore out. But we stood there and talked with him a while, and he kind of told stories about what's been going on in the area and that sort of thing. And when we were done with that, we got settled to our rooms and that. And the next morning, we had breakfast, and Eli gathered us around and said, we're going to have devotion time. So we started in James 1, and he said, we're going to implement the 5 P's. And I wrote it down. The 5 P's are purpose, primary verse, promise, problems, and practical application. So then we dispersed and went and we read our chapter, and we had to, or we didn't have to, but we wrote down what those all meant to us, those 5 P's out of our chapters. So once that was done, we loaded the van, we loaded the truck, and we headed to Miss D's place, where we were going to work on her son's place. It was pretty devastated by the flood. We worked on his house Monday and Wednesday. Both days, she came down and got us when it was lunchtime, my favorite time. We get up there, and in true holler fashion, she had a 70-foot porch on the front of her house that was all lined up with chairs and rockers and benches. And we sit out there, and we just had the best time. She fed us lunch. We talked and shared and told stories. But on Wednesday, there was something a little different that happened. There was a man that showed up, and Miss D had a faucet on the side of her garage. And he walked up, and he started to wash himself, just clean himself off. And he walked up, and at that time, Miss D came out of the house with a guitar. She said, I had this under the bed. I thought I'd bring it out. And like I said, first service, I don't know why she didn't hand it to me, but she handed it to Mike. So the guy came up, and he started asking questions about what we were doing there and that sort of thing. And we told him, and he said, Mike said we were going to sing some hymns. And he just started rattling off all these hymns he knew. And I thought that was pretty cool that he knew that stuff. But Miss D came out and sat down, and the guy come up and he says, "Are you the owner here?" And she says, "Yeah." He says, "Can I have something to drink?" And I mean, immediately, this woman got up, went in the house, got him some food, water, brought it out, gave it to him, and he was on his way. And I thought, you know, that's the way we all need to be. So we did our work for the day and went back to the room, did our showers, dinners, and then Eli gathered us together again, and we sat in a circle, and we talked about our devotion. That was just such a nice time to tell stories, or not tell stories, but share what we read and that sort of thing. But something I noticed along the way the whole week was the relationship between Eli and Pastor Mark. It was the sweetest and most respectful relationship. Eli would ask Pastor Mark a question, and Pastor Mark could have very easily just took over, but he didn't. He would talk to him, and they would converse, and he just let Eli lead, and Eli did a fantastic job of leading. So Tuesday morning, we get up, we do our devotions, we load the truck, load the van, and we go to meet Pastor Tim, which then we followed to Pastor Reggie's church that was heavily damaged by the flood. We're walking through his church, and it's a mess. He's got construction stuff everywhere. But he was very, as I said about Pastor Ken, was extremely wore out. This guy wore several hats. He was helping build his church with very little help. He was helping his church family. He was helping people in the community. He was just a busy, busy guy. But then again, lunchtime, it's lunchtime. So we go out in this little garage, and he had a nice little spread for us to eat, and we sat down, and Pastor Tim and Pastor Ken just started telling stories about what's going on in the area. And once again, it was just so relaxing, and it was just such a nice time. And sitting on the porch, like I said, the porch times and lunch times and the round circle times was my favorite times. So at this time, I want to thank all of you that gave and prayed and those that bought us meals. It was a trip I'll never forget, and I really, really loved getting to know all these guys up here. Phenomenal group. Thank you very much.
I'm Wes, and it was an honor and privilege to go with this group. And it was just like Dan has said, get to know each other so much better. Share time together, work together, our devotions, our gathering around in the evening. It was just a precious time. And when we went to the trailer with the lady back in the holler, it was so peaceful and quiet. And, you know, there's no internet, well, no wireless internet, I should say, no cell phone coverage. I can remember we were working on some of the drywall inside the trailer at her son's place, and just a lot of work to be done. Even at my age, I'm able to do some of that. It was tiring. But I remember on the porch, that country porch there, sitting and eating a lunch, watching the chickens in the yard. And at one funny moment where the chicken was running across the yard, the dog was chasing the chicken. Right after the chicken, the rooster was chasing the dog. And, you know, she just fed us a wonderful lunchtime. That's funny, too, because each morning after we had our devotions and all, we all packed a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to take along with us for lunch. Well, we never did eat that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which I'm thankful for that. We were well fed, had a good time together. Then I'm thinking of the leadership that Eli provided. It was amazing how he coordinated everything together, how he led us in our devotion, in our study time. And I think of Daniel next to me. We were about ready to leave our last day there at the trailer that we were working on. And I was ready to go. I'm tired. And there's Eli and Daniel thought of something else to do. They are crawling underneath that trailer, and I'm glad that wasn't me because it probably had to pull me out. But anyhow, they're putting up braces underneath the joists of the trailer and propping that up. And again, it showed, it made me proud to see these young men working their hearts out doing what the Lord calls them to do.
My name is Daniel, and I'm very thankful for all the people that gave and donated and were just praying for us. This trip, it's amazing that this trip was able to happen even on such short notice, just with just everything that just fell into place. It's just amazing seeing God work when we'll let him. And I'm amazed, honestly, just by the people we were able to meet. Even with all of the devastation, people that just lost homes, lost families. I mean, one of the counties, like half of its population gone. And just still seeing those people just smiling and just laughing and living life, even as the world around them is just falling apart. I don't know, it's a good lesson to bring home with us. That we need to trust God. We need to just rely on him. And going on this trip gave me a little piece of that. And it's something I was able to bring home with me.
All right. Well, I'm Mike. I won't say too much because I'm going to talk in a little bit about this other trip. But just real quick, I know Mark and Matt would agree that as employees of the church, we're here a lot. We see all kinds of people on Sunday morning, but we very rarely get to connect with a lot of people on Sunday morning. And that's one thing that I wish I could do more. And so a trip like this is a blessing for me because I get to do that. I get to have conversations one-on-one and get to know deeper who my church family is and who they are as individuals and get to live life and do life together, which is, I think, really what makes a church thrive and grow, whether it's on a trip or whether it's stuff we do during the week just around home or whatever we do. That's why life groups and things like that are important, because we get to know each other individually and do life together. That's hugely important, and we got to do a lot of that. We got to do a lot of life together on this trip. And so then as we get down there, there were times I kind of felt bad that we weren't getting more work done, because it felt like there was so much setup time, and then there's, you know, we're talking and there's other things going. I feel like, man, we should see more results. But then it occurred to me, well, God's at work here. God's doing a lot of things. While we are getting some physical work done, and maybe we're not getting as much done as we could if it was a 9-to-5 job, but there were relationships happening all the way around us. I mean, I got to have some of those, but I also got to sit and watch every one of these guys connect with people on a personal level. Some would talk for hours and just get to share life with them and get to just some of them just need somebody to listen, they just need to know that somebody cares. And that was awesome to be able to come in and to see our church literally being the hands and feet and getting to be that and do that. And that happened because these guys were willing to go. A lot of you were willing to give, to share, to make that happen. And so I was so proud to say that, yep, this is my church. I'm so proud of who they are and what they're doing. And it just reminded me, you know, down there seeing what they have, remembering, being reminded of what we have here too. So God bless you all.
Hi, I'm Vanessa, and I'm a Heidelberg student. I'm not a normal face that you probably see here, but I am very thankful that I was able to still be part of this group and part of this amazing trip. And so my connection is through Eli. I know him from Overflow, which is a little college ministry in downtown Tiffin, and so he mentioned this trip a couple weeks out, and I was very interested, but I didn't think it would work out because of school and sports and all that time commitment. But I did pray about it because it's something that's been on my heart for the past, well, just always, I guess. But I never had like an opportunity like this before. So it was awesome to see that come up. And I prayed, you know, if it was, if God wanted me to go, to make a way. And he did, because I had to talk with my coaches and professors, of course, to make sure that I would be able to miss that amount of time. And it all worked out because my coach is a Christian and has a heart for missions. And he was very excited and passionate about me going, which was awesome. And I was still able to get in my runs down in Kentucky, which was also really, it was really fun, very hilly down there, but it was all good. And it happened to be fall break that week, so I didn't actually have to miss all that much of school. And it was just really clear and awesome how God worked that out and answered my prayer of having opportunities to go and serve him in big ways. And so that, and just throughout the whole trip, I just really was able to see in awesome ways how God is in control over everything and how he will accomplish his purpose in any way, because he's God, and we can't mess that up, and we can't, there's just nothing we can do to stop God, which is really awesome, because there were some times where things didn't go according to our plan, but, you know, they went according to God's. And we were, like, and that is just so awesome to be able to give God the glory in those moments where, like, well, it certainly wasn't us, so thank you, God. And anyways, I really enjoyed getting to know all of you and spend time, begin and end our work days together in the Word. I think that was also a big thing, because we can't, like I've already kind of been saying, like none of it can happen without God. And it was so important that we had that time in the morning in the Word to just hear from the Lord and just be in his presence and remember that we weren't there on our mission, it was God's mission, and to just be encouraged by whatever he had for us, and then to be able to come back together after the day of work and share what God was doing in all our lives. Okay. To see what God was doing in all our hearts through, because we all were doing the same things, but you know, we're all in different places in life, and we all come from different places, and we were all seeing such different lifestyles around us in Kentucky that it just really opened my mind, and God did a lot in my heart there. So that was really important, and just as a reminder that we're doing this with God, not just for him, because I think that was something that I sometimes can get caught up in, is like doing things for God, but we don't know what God, you know, wants us to do if he's not with us in it. And so that was just always kind of grounding as a reminder, like why we're really here, and what, like being able to bring that to the other people that we encountered, not just the ones that we were doing work for, but you know, anyone we encountered throughout the day. And but for the people that we were helping out, we got the people mentioned, Miss Dean and that family at the trailer, and Darlene and I got to do a lot of relational, just like spending time with them and helping them out with little things around the house rather than all the hard drywall stuff that the guys did. But that was really special, and just getting to see how they live down there. It's so simple and so, but everything's so intentional. That's something that I that really impacted me. Like, there's, it's just so purposeful, everything they do. And we got to help make the prepared lunch and things for the group. And just, I don't know, I was thinking about this when we were sitting there. Darlene was mentioned that we got to make applesauce, and we did, but when, like, she made sure it was so perfect, and she made sure that we had some to take back with us, and just the love and, I don't know, love and intention with everything that we physically did, and with the conversations we had were so led by God, and it was very encouraging. And on our last morning there with them, we brought our Bibles and got to spend some time in the Word together. And, you know, it's God's Word. And so he was definitely there in that. And that was one of my favorite moments as well. Just getting to just really invite God into that moment with us. And I know he's still working in, well, all, my heart for sure, all our hearts, and the those of the people that we encountered down there. So I'm just really grateful for all this and what God did in and through us all, because it's something that is lasting, and it's not, it was a short trip, but it's gonna have lasting impacts for all of us, I think, which is really awesome.
Hi, I'm Darlene, and this was my first mission trip, and I have not stopped talking about the trip since I got home, and I will talk about it to anybody who will listen to me. But when they said, come up here on stage and share in front of a group, I was freaking out, because that's not, I don't like doing that. But I've been praying about it all week, and I felt God say to me, Darlene, it's not about you. It's not about your comfortableness. It's about me and what I'm doing in your life and the lives of others. And so here I am. And I listened to all of them, and there's so many stories. My mind is going crazy. But my biggest thing was meeting the Abner family and just seeing how content they are with nothing. And to lose, like Jamie lost everything in his trailer, but they never complained, they never whined, they never, oh, poor me. Like everybody said, they were more worried about cooking lunch for us and giving us food and making cakes for Mike and stuff like that. So they just really touched my heart. Really, I felt like I left a piece of my heart in Kentucky, actually, and I've told them that. And Kathy, who's the adult daughter, connected with Vanessa and I, but a lot with me, and she, because we have a lot in common, and she reached out to me on Facebook, and I hear from her almost every other day. She's texting me and sending me messages, and asking me to pray for her, her family. They're really struggling because they lost their dad in July, and him and Miss Dean were married like 52 years, and he was the head of the family, and now they don't know what to do. They're kind of waffling, you know, because Kathy and Dad did the farming and stuff on the property, and now she has to do it by herself, and she doesn't know how, and she feels so alone, and Jamie's struggling too, and then Miss Dean has health issues. So I would ask you to pray for the Abner family. They would really appreciate that. They're just good, good people. And I think that was the thing. Their resiliency is what stuck out with me. And then we met a lot of people wherever we went. We would strike up conversations. And another person, Kylie, I would like you to pray for her. We met her at KFC, and she's a 17-year-old young lady who's really needs our prayers. What else did I forget? I feel like I forgot something from I can't think of anything.
Yeah, it was amazing being on this trip, and we're all just kind of like, there's so many things that happen where it's just like, where do we start? Like, what do we start talking about? And that's kind of what I'm thinking too, just like, where do we start? But one thing about a mission trip is it's just so special to be able to be on a trip with other people, just being there, having hearts open to serve, ready. Something very special happens, and it was very cool getting to grow closer with all of these folks, and we just had a really good time being able to serve. And there's several things that stuck out to me, and it was humbling being there at that location in the holler, and just knowing that the water from the flood had come up, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet, you know, in this trailer, and we're just like restoring it and doing whatever we could. And then we go to other parts of Kentucky, and we see like, hey, there's houses that have been completely wiped out by the flood, or you know, past the point where they have been knocked down. And then we drive around, and Eli was like, oh, yeah, there was a whirlpool that took place in this front yard. And we're just like, wow, this is, you know, crazy devastation. We're just trying to wrap our minds around it. So being there and being able to serve, it was very humbling for us to be in that position. And another thing that really stuck out to me was Dan mentioned we did worship on the porch with these people that we were serving. And that was just an incredible moment, because I was telling Eli, I was like, hey, maybe we should have Mike sing Amazing Grace before we go. And he's like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden this guitar just appears out of nowhere. And Mike just starts busting out some worship songs. And we all sang with full hearts. And it was really incredible. It was a really sweet moment to be able to share that gift with them, as well as to serve them. And then to serve at the church. There is a lot of devastation that took place in there, and we saw the pastor Reggie, as Dan was mentioning, he was totally overwhelmed, especially when we got there. He said, we have this, and it's like, it looked like they're completely rebuilding the church from the inside, and we know we have one day, and we're like, okay, what can we do? How can we help? And so we all, you know, on our own just found, okay, here's a project we can do, here's a project, and we all just started to just work as soon as we could. And that really helped him calm down, like, okay, you know, this is going to get done. This, you know, one day this church is going to be back to where it needs to be. And by the end, he was sharing his testimony with us, and, you know, we got to know him a little better. And then we prayed for him at the end, and there was just tears running down his cheeks because, you know, everything that had gone on, and he was just so blessed by us just being there and helping. And then we took a picture at the end, and I think he wants pictures of everyone who helped serve, just because, you know, maybe at the end he wants to show like, hey, look at all the people who have come from so far away to help rebuild this church. And I think that's really special, and I think that's what mission trips are really about, is just, you know, a bunch of people coming together to serve and to do something bigger than yourself. And it was really special just to know that we are a part of that, just a piece of something bigger. It was really cool, and just a really amazing experience. So thank you so much to everyone who prayed and gave. We really appreciate it.
Friends, it really was just an incredible time. And Matt said something at 8:30 that's true. It's so hard when you're there to try to even come close to help you capture what we experienced. But it was really, really a beautiful thing. I'm not going to add much to it because we want to give Mike some time to share about Zambia, but just a couple of things. One thing that Daniel mentioned, just a little clarification. half of the community wasn't wiped out by the flood, but I think you meant to say is there were like, I think, 38 people that died from the flood, and 19 of them were from this one community we were at. So half of the people that died were from that community. So that's Pastor Reggie that we've talked about, whose church was so devastated. So he's worrying about putting his church together, but you also got all these homes as well to put together. And so as a pastor and as a leader, I think, and I shared some of this when we came back, I think probably what resonated so much with me is watching the leadership there and to watch these pastors exchanging their pulpit for a construction hat. And I just don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do what these guys did. But there was another thing I noted that I said to Mike and to Matt as staff people in our church. I said, you know, the culture is also so different because these pastors were carrying all this burden on their backs that looked like by themselves. And I said, I know if something like this happened at our church, and I even named some people, I said, I know Doug Pence would be helping, and Paul would be helping, and Gary would be helping, and there would be other people here putting this place back together, but it felt like it was all the pastor and the teams that would come in. And so the culture was so different because everything kind of rests on the pastors who Reggie is making a minuscule amount of money. He's had to take another job to even support his family, and his wife had to go back to work. And then he's pastoring this church and trying to rebuild it. Really, really devastating. And that's probably one thing that resonated with me. Then there's one other I'll just tell quickly as I'm talking about leadership. When we pulled into Hazard County to meet Pastor Tim, who was going to take us to this church where Reggie was, there he says, my team manager or something is going to be showing up to take you guys out there. I'm a little busy this morning. And so this guy pulls up in one of their church's vans from Hazard. And he jumps out and starts talking. I'm like, this guy doesn't have a Southern accent. I'm like, who is this guy? We come to find out he's not even from there. He's from Michigan. He's a retired Navy SEAL and police officer. His name's Dave. And he feels the Lord call him. Since he's retired, he can do this. He's gone to several different natural disaster areas. He takes it when he's called. He takes his RV and he moves there to help. And he was already, he'd been there like 4 weeks, already implemented enough in that church that he's driving their church van, leading crews to work. He'd already been to Florida the week before to see the damage that was done there from the hurricane, and had been back to Kentucky and is continuing to work there. And when God leads him, he'll move to another natural disaster. And he's part of a cluster of other guys that are doing this very same thing. It was pretty amazing to me. That somebody is doing this with their life. And the final thing I'll give, and we got to give Mike some time here, so the final thing I'll give you is this, is everybody was asked to pay something to go on this trip, and then it looked like maybe things were just a little tight, and so we just threw out there, if you want to help support, you can. Well, we have enough seed money to go again now, thanks to your generosity. So we hope to either go back to Kentucky or something, maybe in the spring. Eli, on the way home, said we're going to Florida next because the hurricane was happening. I don't know if we're going to Florida or not, but hopefully there'll be another team going somewhere. Hopefully most of these folks can go, and some of you will go with us because it's a great experience. So thank you, team, for sharing. You did an awesome, awesome job. Let's return to our seats, and Mike's going to pick up.
Amen. So there's just a quick overview of kind of what happened. That kind of says a lot of it, but I'm going to try to share a little bit more. I will be as quick as I can. I've narrowed down 2,000 pictures down to 500, so we shouldn't be long at all. No, just kidding. Although there's probably that many pictures floating around out there about. So I had the privilege to get to go to Africa this year. Actually got to go to last year also. Last year went to Kenya. If you're not familiar with your Africa geography, there's Kenya. We actually spent a lot of time right out here on the coast, on the Indian Ocean, in a town called Mombasa. This year, we flew into South Africa, and then first flew up to the bottom of Zambia, right on the bottom of Zambia in Zimbabwe, and I'll show you some pictures of that in a little bit. And then we took like a 12-hour drive up to a town called Kabwe, kind of up into Zambia. I think most of the trip, I felt like I was on a plane going somewhere here and there on a plane. I didn't think to take any plane pictures until we were packing up to leave. And here's what we looked like packing up to leave. That's what it felt like sometimes. Like it's but no, that wasn't really the plane. Maybe. That's what some of our transportation looked like, though. But anyway, so that when we went up to the border of Zambia and Zimbabwe, where we went was Victoria Falls. Not necessarily a plan to be a spiritual experience. It was just when you're hours from a national wonder of the, one of the wonders of the world, you go. And so we got to see this. I think there's like 8 different waterways that all feed into this one falls. And a lot of you have probably been to Niagara. I've been up there on both sides of that. And Niagara's cool. It's big. It's huge. This dwarfs Niagara Falls. I mean, it's enormous. Which was why this really stuck out to me. Like the farther we walked and the farther we got to in towards the falls, like just the bigger it got and the bigger it got and the bigger it got. It was one of those moments where I wasn't necessarily expecting to have a God moment this is just a touristy thing. But I really did. Like, I felt God's presence in that moment because it was one of those moments where you were so aware of his power and his majesty and his creation to think that, man, God, you know, God did this. Like, God made that. How incredible is that? And it was, I told a couple people, man, if you don't see God's majesty in this, then there's problems. But yeah, you can see, like, with the mist coming off, there's, like, always a rainbow. Frequently, there's, like, double rainbow going on. And it was pretty cool. I mean, it was just, it was like you were living in a postcard for that little moment. But one picture I want to share, as we were coming back, this bridge right there that was just on the screen, we're heading back, we're going across this bridge, and we're watching this rainbow. And, like, as the clearing, as it starts to, the landscape kind of clears, like, it keeps coming around. I'm like, wow, that looks like a full rainbow. That's pretty cool. And so we're kind of watching each end. And as we get to this bridge, I realized, man, because of the depth of the falls, like, man, that kind of curls, like, even farther than, I mean, that kind of curls underneath. And as we get on the bridge, there was absolutely no way to get your camera to get a picture of exactly that. But as I'm getting on this bridge, I kid you not, I look down and that rainbow circled all the way under that bridge, came all the way around, and I literally walked through a rainbow. It was crazy. It was unbelievable. And again, it was just a moment. I almost got run over by people behind me because I had to just stop and soak that in. Like, man, God, you're amazing. God, you're awesome. I mean, there's things that are all around us like that, that sometimes we just this one was, I couldn't miss it. It just hit me in the face. But there's things all around us like that we miss day to day where God's majesty just shows up in really, really amazing ways. So we left from there, got up to our place, and one of the first things we got to do was, and I love these trips, we get to go Sunday mornings. We break into groups of 2, 3, our group had 4 this time, and we split off and we go to local churches, which is very eye-opening, exciting, kind of terrifying, because you don't know exactly what you're walking into, what you're going to find when you get there. This is the church I was at that Sunday, which seems pretty primitive, but is actually very nice compared to the one I was in last year. That the walls weren't even finished. There was just a sheet metal roof. But again, they were so happy to have what they had. They know how to have church down there. They're not messing around. And they just go and go and go and go. And now, sometimes you think we get loud on a Sunday morning. Somehow, even though they're in the middle of nowhere, they find power and they crank that up to 11. I mean, it is 4 times as loud as we're here on a Sunday morning. I'm like, whew, and they don't mess around. They just go. And it was so awesome to get to step in and be part of what God is doing across the world. One of the funny things to me too is, you know, here we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's town around, but it's, you know, very bare bones, very primitive. But there was a guy running around with a cell phone doing their live stream for the morning. Walking around, getting the pastor, getting the band, getting the crowd. Like, that's awesome. They're streaming on Facebook. He gave me the link to their Facebook page so I could go back home and watch that church in the middle of Zambia on Facebook. I thought it was incredible. So these were some pictures from that church. One thing, they very much value and appreciate their guests. And so when we left, I thought this was kind of cool too. We left with a cake. Like, here, we made this for you. We want to present this to you. And so if anybody wants to give cakes at the end of church or anytime, you know, for visitors or worship leaders or anything like that, we're open to that. So then the other cool thing is, we're getting to the place. People are coming in from all over. I think we had at least eight different countries represented at this intensive school that we hosted. And so they're all coming in from different places, making their way in. Well, There's a guy I had been communicating with for about a year and a half at this point. We were part of a sponsorship program that Next Level Worship did, where we pair up people from the state, one from the States and one from somewhere else in the world. And we've been communicating for like a year and a half, but doing Zoom calls, and we've done Bible studies together, and we just text and message each other back and forth. Hey, how's your family? How are things going? Just kind of became a friend, really. But we've never got to meet in person until... let me find that picture. Until that day, Skozen, my friend Skozen, he's incredible, such an awesome guy. But he popped in. He wasn't even going to get to stay for the week, but he came just long enough so he could say hello and get to meet me. And I got to show you this too. Some of you might have seen I put a picture of this online when I got back. But he had this shirt made for me. It's very bright and bold. It's kind of obnoxious sometimes, like I am, but this is the Zambian flag. But he was so excited to get to share this with me. And the funny thing is, he had no idea like what size he had this custom made. Had a friend of his custom make this for me. Had no idea like what size to make it or anything. So what he did is, when we would talk online, he took screenshots of me when we were talking. And then he also knew our Africa director, Donald, in Zambia. He knew that Donald was similar in size to me. So he would look at Donald and then looked at the pictures, and he had this guy make the shirt based off of that. And it's pretty darn close. That's pretty amazing. But he was so excited. Last year, he was going to try to come to Kenya last year, couldn't make it. But I did take a Old Fort Country Market shirt and had it sent back home for him. So he's got an Old Fort Country Market shirt. I got my Zambia shirt. So that's fun. That's fun. So we met him. That was just a special time for me. Then we got to go onto our intensive school. We held this at this Mulungushi University right in Kabwe, Zambia. Not quite like a university around here. I mean, they had all the buildings and housing and all that kind of thing, but like the housing is pretty much just shacks. Some of them don't have electricity right now. They don't have running water. They're just dirty rooms full of bugs and it's not pleasant. But they're just happy to be there. They'll just use what they've got. Some of the buildings are okay. Some of them are a little rough. The building we were in was decent, but yeah, this is where we spent most of our week. Was right here pouring into these people. Usually, most of these intensive schools that they've hosted are kind of geared mostly for worship leaders. And they limit the size of the group because we want, it's not about numbers and reaching the masses necessarily at this point. It's about making personal connections. A lot of these people that we work with at these schools will stay in contact with, some of them for life, just because that's what it's about. It's about making personal connections and pouring into lives and making sure that they can go back with the resources they need and are equipped. But usually they're worship leaders. And one of the rules is you have to be endorsed by your pastor to even come. We want to be sure the ones that come are serious. They're going to make it. They're going to go back to their churches and make a difference. And so that's how we usually run those. This was unique. This one right here was the first time we had it open to worship leaders and pastors. Thought we'd try that out. So the requirement was you had to come together. It had to be the worship leader and the pastor together. You couldn't come by yourself. You had to come as a unit, had to come as a team, because we felt like that connection was important, and that's what we wanted to reach. And so we had large group meetings, some that connected with everybody, and then we'd split everybody off. Pastors would go one way, worship leaders would go another way. We'd have times for them to learn and grow. And then we had breakout sessions where we broke in even smaller groups where we'd teach maybe different instruments or different leadership things or just different stuff like that. I thought it was super cool. I taught one class on like audio technology, that kind of thing, which was kind of cool. We had some neat stuff. Did another class I kind of co-taught on guitar. So we got to sit out. I think there were some pictures on there. We got to sit out on the lawn in a circle with guitars and just play. It was really kind of fun. But what I thought was awesome, what stuck out of my mind, we had at least two pastors that came to our guitar class because they wanted to grow. They wanted to learn. I think one was a church planner I'm like, well, what, you know, so why are you here? He's like, well, when I go out, I want to be able to preach, but I want to be able, I may have to do music. That may be something I have to do. That may be something I'm called to do. I want to be equipped to be able to do that. So I want to learn. Another guy's another pastor is part of a pretty thriving church in that area. They're doing fine. They've got musicians. They don't need him to play, but he just wanted to learn because he felt like that was important. So I love their heart and their desire, their passion to just live for God, like just go all in and go all out. I can't show everything here. Let me show. This is did that get turned down? Here was them singing. They just they're all in. They just pour out. This was a moment where there was a lady speaking, and she was telling this story about these people in prison that were in prison. They had found Christ, and they were living for Christ, and there was this song that they would sing. She was talking about the song, and she started to sing this song just as she was speaking. And here's what just spontaneously happened in the room as she's... I lost it. Where'd it go? Here we go. Oh, yeah, it moved on me. here's what just happened spontaneously in the room. Go. What happened? Oh, it looks like it locked up on us. Anyway, we may or may not get to see it. But the whole room just began to sing. They began to worship. I mean, it was not planned. It was not anything that we had organized. It was not anything that, and it was in like 4, 5, 6, 7 part harmony. It was just the most gorgeous thing. Let's see, a second ago. I don't know. We may not get to see actually any more of this stuff. It's the computer's locked up or doing something weird. But it was just gorgeous, and it touched my heart. And sometime I'll have to show that to you. But they just pour. I mean, there's no lack of passion and no lack of heart for Christ. But what's interesting to me as we're there, like, I mean, they'll sing, they'll shout, they'll dance. I mean, they're all in. But yet they lack some of the foundational principles of worship, which was kind of what we came in and gave them. Some stuff that maybe kind of seems obvious to us. Some things that seem pretty core in the teaching about what worship is, but it was like a light bulb for them. And several pastors and leaders would say that, man, we've never had anybody teach us that before. We've never heard that taught. And it gave them this foundation to take what they're already doing to a whole nother level. And it's just, it was so awesome to see as that caught on through the week, to see what God was doing and building them up and raising them up. But I'll tell you, though, I would love to take a whole plane full of them and bring them back here, because while we get the theology of worship, while we get the teaching of worship, how often do we just let go and worship, right? How often do we just let ourselves go and just go wherever God leads, whether that's to go serve or whether that's to sing or whether that's to, again, you know, reach across the room to somebody you know is hurting. How often do we do that? And they just do that instinctively. So, man, I love how we really can learn from each other. There's like a billion stories I could share. I'll just share a couple more quick things. We're kind of reloading here. At one point towards the end of the week, we went out and we had different people draw with chalk. They drew outlines of all the different countries that were represented. There, and we went out and we broke into groups and we circled around those countries, and we had people from those countries write down, what are three things that we can pray for your country? What are three things that are going on in your country right now that we can pray for? And we spent, I don't know, an hour or two just circled around just praying for each of those. We'd pray, and then we'd rotate. We'd move to the next country. Everybody would just move around and go to the next country. It was amazing. I mean, the passion just in their prayer was incredible. They were just pouring themselves out for people they didn't know, for people they didn't, I mean, they didn't have any idea, you know, who's in this country or who's in that country, but they're just pouring their heart out. Let's see if that'll go. Yeah, so here's some of that. But what was cool is so then, you know, I'm with this group and we're moving around, and then we get to the United States. And there's something, man, there's something that hits your heart. Let me get that picture. When you've got 8 different countries, again, people, you know, we've kind of got to know each other in that circle a little bit, but they have no idea who any of you are, anybody else in this, but they are pouring their heart out, standing around our country, weeping and crying and praying to God for God to move and for things to happen right here in this place. And that was another moment that has hit me a lot harder than I ever expected, to know that they care and that God is at work in so many places and that we're all in this together. It doesn't matter what country we're in, where we're serving, what we're doing, we're all in this together. And that was incredible. You saw in that video a lot of pictures. There was a whole nother crew that went out to local churches and taught kids for this worship Bible school. They averaged 400 kids a day. The first day they were expecting 300. They said, we're going to feed them, so let's plan on 350 to be sure. They had about 450 kids show up that day. Unreal. So then they're panicking. How do we feed 450 kids? We barely planned for more than 300. Well, God showed up again. Our team decided not to eat just because they knew, hey, we don't have food. But they had every one of those kids, every one of the local team leaders from the local churches. They fed them. They get to the last scoop of food, hit the last plate of that last leader. They were able to feed every single person there. Unreal. There's a loaves and fishes moment. God still does miracles today. That was amazing to me. And then the cooler thing out of that, and this is what they came back and they posted these little hands of the place where we were doing the school. That team came back. They posted these little hands on the windows because each one of those hands has the name of a child that gave their life to Christ during those Bible schools that they went out and taught. That's worthy of applause. I mean, God is. Those are the reasons why we go. It's for life change, and it's to see kids literally give their heart to Christ. And so what was needed, so they did that so we could see it, so we could pray over it, so we were aware of what went on. But then they said, okay, but what we want to do when you guys leave, we want everybody to take these hands with you. Take them with you and pray for these kids, that God will continue to move, that they'll find local churches, that they'll get connected with leaders that love them and care for them. And so we did, and so this is the hand that's in my office right back here right now. This little Nixon, he's 8 years old, gave his life to Christ that week. I didn't even get to meet him. I didn't get to go out to, I was a little bit jealous. Working with those kids is not necessarily my gifting, but I was a little bit jealous that I didn't get to go out because they were doing some amazing work out in the community with those kids. But I was able to take this back. So this is a kid I see at my desk every day. I don't remember to pray for him every day, but pray for him often, and which is powerful. So I don't know. There's, again, like I said, there's a ton of things we could share. I'm so thankful that I got to go, that I had the opportunity. I mean, I know a lot of you were part of helping make that happen also. So I'm very, very grateful that that you're able to do that. But I just want to, whether it's, you know, from the Kentucky trip you heard or from this, I just want you to be encouraged and know that God is always speaking. God's always moving. God's always leading. We've talked about going to Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, which is kind of like our Old Fort, Seneca County, and beyond. You know, God may or may not be calling you to the literal end of the earth. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But I bet he's calling you somewhere. I bet he's calling you to something. And maybe it's as simple as this afternoon at this harvest party, just calling you to walk across the atrium to talk to somebody that's sitting by themselves that, hey, I don't think they go to church here, or they don't look like maybe they're not connected with anybody, but you can connect with them. I believe that God's calling us to things like that. So wherever he is, just be listening. I never, ever, ever, ever thought I would go overseas. I always admired it. I appreciated people that did. I know there's a need, but just never felt like, I just never felt called, just never felt led to that. And then just a couple of years or so ago, God's like, no, this is the passion I'm putting on your heart right now. This is what I'm wanting you to do. And so I want you to go. And I'm glad I listened. It would have been easy to say, that's crazy. There's no way. I'm not going. Because that's insane. Why would I go that far or do that? But man, I know my life's changed because of it. And I'm praying that hopefully I've done something that's going to help lead to some life change in somebody else. And so you just never know. If God gives you a stirring about something, that may be because it's important. And that may be because he's calling you to do something about it. Again, whether it's right here or who knows where. But yeah. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up. I don't know if you want to say something here. But thank you. Thank you so much for time and for all you do to help support all of the missions that we do here.
So we know that we've run a little longer today, but it's important to do that sometimes. And the answer to the day is reaching. How can you reach? Where can you reach? In your own neighborhood, in your own workplace, in your own family, in your own friends, beyond your Judea, out to further places. And even putting a dollar in to help us go to Kentucky was reaching, right? And so there's so many ways to do that. Are we going to do like a chorus, or are we going to just wrap up here? We'll just do a part of our last song, and what we did dismissed from there, and hopefully we'll see a bunch of you back here at 2 today. But thank you for letting us share today.
All right.
Go and be blessed.